announce our next speaker, Veronica, who I'm from the northeast of the U.S. She's from the northeast of the U.S. We live actually weirdly near each other. We've met in person a few times. I was so excited when I saw I got to host this session. And it's ML.NET, Azure, and Xamarin. Best friends forever. Ooh. So hi, Veronica, Maddie. Take it away.
Hi, Maddie. Hi, everyone. I'm super excited to be here. We'll be talking about ML.NET, Azure, and Xamarin. So if you are a .NET developer, or you are just planning to become a .NET developer, you have all the tools to be a machine learning specialist and also create cross-platform smart applications that are also connected to the cloud. So let's go to the slides. And here's the slide just to introduce myself. I am Veronica Kolesnikova. I am twice Microsoft MVP in AI. I have my master's in information technology. I love all the Microsoft technologies. I'm working with C#, .NET, SQL, love Xamarin, love machine learning. Recently, I started working a little bit with Node.js and React and that side of things. And my hobbies are dancing, traveling, and aerial yoga. And that's it. That's the last slide. So never happened before. I'm moving straight to the demo. I'm not going to have any more slides. So it's going to be super exciting. And what I have here, I'm opening my Visual Studio. So I have the latest Visual Studio. I upgraded it a couple of days ago. So hopefully it all goes well. Fingers crossed. I tested it before, so it should be fine. What is going on here? So you probably can see I have a lot of stuff going on. Here in my solution, the main thing here is that awesome Xamarin Forms project, which can have that shared code. And you can see here that messaging app that is open, that is shared code. And then I can create specific code for Android and iOS, or I don't have to do it. Actually, for this little demo, I don't have really anything specific there. Everything is stored in that shared project. So we're just creating something once, and then we can use it in both platforms. We can add more stuff like tvOS and all that fun, amazing stuff that we can do with Xamarin Forms. So what this application does is it actually is like a messaging system, like a SMS, and we have a form there where you can put your recipient phone number or some kind of identifier, and then your message there. Then you click send button, and actually your application is gonna be really smart, and it is gonna analyze the text you are about to send and figure out if it's rude, offensive, or it is safe to send. I think it is a really useful application. Sometimes we don't think what kind of messages we are sending. Maybe we don't have that intent of sending something that might be rude or offensive to other people, or we're just in that mood that we actually need to send it, but we just don't think about people around us. So I think it's a really useful application there. You can use it anytime. So it's just a basic application here. But if you build on top of it, then it can become something really, really useful. So what I'm doing here is analyzing the text using ML.NET. And let me show you that message page, that only one page that I have there. What I'm using there is my favorite Xamarin Essentials. It's an amazing library for Xamarin developers. So you don't need to think about specifics for Android and iOS. You can just use Xamarin Essentials to connect to different features of the system. And here I am connecting to SMS. So basically what Xamarin Essentials does is it's connecting your application to default messaging system in specific platform. So you are creating it once, but in Android, it's gonna open Android Messenger. In iOS, it's gonna open iMessenger by default, and then you'll be able to actually start your message in application and then transfer to a real messenger on your platform. So what I'm doing here, sending SMS. But the main thing is that send button that I mentioned. I'm checking if I have text and recipient. So that code is not perfect. So don't actually copy everything from there and say, I taught you that. It's not the best architecture, but it is just for you to see the functionality and how you can connect different things together. So here I'm checking the text and the recipient, and then I am passing to that prediction method, the text, and then getting the result. And based on the result, I am either displaying that alert message, it's a little warning that is saying that probably you shouldn't send that message, it is offensive or rude, or it just not okay to send something like that. But I actually left an option to skip it and still send it, because I don't know. The model is not perfect. So when you start building something like that and you have machine learning model, it might take a couple of iterations to actually make it better. And you should definitely keep improving your model. Another thing, you actually might actually want to send that message. So I'm not here to judge you. If you want to send it, you can send it. And then if the prediction is positive, so it's safe to send it, there is nothing rude or offensive there, then you can just use that send SMS method to send the text message to that recipient. And that's what's happening there. And now let's move to that method called test single prediction. Single prediction, because we are sending one text message to our function here, and the function is gonna have that ML.NET model, and the model is gonna analyze your text and then return one prediction. You can create application which will just stream text to your model and then model analyze the stream. That will be different, but it is also an option there. So what I'm doing, and again, I am repeating, don't do it that way. I'm just trying to show you how it all works and can be connected. Let me close that. And this one here, I have so many things open. What I'm doing here, I am just sending, so that is my URL for, that is my URL for the function. And I'm gonna show you in the portal where you can get that URL. Don't just hard code your URL here in the middle of your code. That is not a good practice, especially with a secret code here. That should be definitely something private that you are not just sharing in the middle of the code. And then what I'm doing here, I'm sending the content, and in the content I have that text that I want to send. And yeah, I'm just waiting for the result, and then I'm getting their response from my Azure function. And based on that response, I either display that alert, or I'm just opening the default messenger app, and you are ready to go. You are ready to send it. Okay, so I mentioned Azure Function, but before we move to the Azure Function, I want to talk about the model, because without the model, there won't be any benefit in the function. And what I have in the model is a really cool thing that is easy to create with ML.NET, and especially ML.NET Model Builder, which is integrated into Visual Studio by default, so you don't need to install anything. It's already there, and it's awesome. You don't have to know a lot about machine learning. You don't have to learn about all the types of machine learning models. It is just a UI that is guiding you through the process of creating your ML.NET model. And then when you are creating that model, you are getting it in that zip file. You can see here, mlmodel.zip in my solution. How to create that model and how to use the model builder. It is really easy. When you have your application, it can be any kind of application, console application, web application. Here I have Xamarin Forms. So I'm just right clicking here, add in. And here I have an option, machine learning. And it is not just me. I'm sure you all have that option. If you don't, then probably you need to upgrade the Visual Studio. When you click here, you are taking a little bit. So you will see the model builder. I hope it didn't crash. Maybe it did. That's always happened. Okay, good. It's back online. Thanks, Visual Studio. So what we have here is ML.NET Model Builder. And you can see it's really fun, interactive. You can read what's happening, what kind of scenario you want to use, text classification, value prediction, image classification. So many different options. For some of them, you can use Azure ML or your local ML. And then some limited scenarios that are still work in progress, but they are available here. So you can see the examples, read more about them, maybe start playing with them, but they are not 100% ready for production. So what I am choosing here for my model is text classification, because we are going to classify that message into two categories, if it's rude or offensive, or it's safe to send and it's positive. I'm getting some information about my local CPU, because that type of scenario is actually targeting local CPU. And then next step, I am adding the data. It can be added using file or connect to SQL Server. I used the file. Let me see if I can find that file. It might be a little tricky. So it can be a CSV, TSV file, or a text file. I selected the file. It is taking some time. Usually it doesn't, but you know, when you are presenting, it always happens like that. So I can select a file, I can connect it to the database, and then I am selecting the column to predict. So what I'm predicting here, and it's awesome that we have that data preview here, so you can see what kind of data you have. Usually it is good to see your data before starting working with it. You need to sanitize it. You need to make sure that it is actually valid. It doesn't have any bias. There are so many tools that you can use to actually make sure that your data is accurate, and you definitely need to do it before creating your model. But here you can see what's happening. It's a little preview of your data set. You can see I have lots of parameters here. I am only gonna take the toxic column here as a label. So I'm gonna predict only that column. And we are selecting it here. And then we can choose all the columns, but actually they are all irrelevant. And the only relevant is that one, common text. And so what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna pass the text in, I'm gonna get prediction about if it's toxic or not, if it's 0 or 1. And then I'll move to the next step. Here, you can see that it suggests time for training, but this field is editable. So you can edit the time there, make it more or less. I wouldn't recommend it to put a really low number there, because what Model Builder does, it actually uses AutoML behind the scene to figure out the best type of model for your data. And you know, it will go through several types of models, and then when it finds the best model model type, it will generate the machine learning model specifically for your data. And you just click start training. You can see it's 600 seconds, so I think it is 10 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. We don't have that much time right now, and I'm not gonna do the training right now, but I can tell you what's gonna happen next. Next will be the evaluate step, where you can enter example of text and see the result. So you are actually testing your model if it's relevant, if it works correctly, if it returns correct result. So you are entering the text and see if it's positive or negative, 0 or 1. And then based on that, you can go to the next step and create code. So when you are generating code, you don't need to do anything. The model builder is gonna generate the code for you. It will generate two projects. One is the model. One is the model. And the second one is the console application. I deleted the console application. You need it just for to check in, to see how your model works. I don't need it here because I am gonna use that model in my Azure Functions. And so I'm not only getting the model, I am actually getting some data models. So those two classes to actually access your model and work with your model. And those two classes, they are perfect for interacting with that model and figuring out what data you need to pass and get the prediction out of your data. And then let's move to the function. The function actually has two parts there. One is in our favorite Azure portal. I hope you can see my screen here. Here I created a function in Azure. I'm sure you all know how to create a function. Just go click on create a resource, select Azure function, and then you'll get a function. You can see that I tested it. It definitely worked before. So I'm going to show you how it works later. So by default, when I created here, the function is empty, doesn't have any functions. So when you go to functions, it won't have anything. But I created a function in my Visual Studio, just created a new project in my solution, and the type of the project is Azure Function with HTTP trigger. So it is triggered by that HTTP call to that specific URL. There are so many different triggers. So when you start creating your Azure function, it can be signal R trigger. It can be just triggered at some point of time or in like 5-10 minutes or so many minutes. So there are lots of different options. I chose HTTP just because it's just straightforward. It is easy to show what's happening there, but you don't have to do the same. You can use other triggers there, and it doesn't really matter. When I deployed my model, deployed my function right here, I got the code to that I can test right in the portal. I have that function, get function URL. So that's where you need to click on to get that URL, which you can use in your Xamarin Forms application or any kind of application, because it's just a URL. So let's go back to Visual Studio. I'm going to close that and go to my function. So that is the function project that I have here. I created that ML models folder, so you can have a couple of models there. I have only one, so I copied over that ML model.zip file right there. And another trick there is when you go to properties of that ML model.zip file, it should be copied to output directory. That part is really important. Unless there are a couple of other options, if you store that model file, the model zip file somewhere else in a storage, maybe on Azure storage or anywhere on premises, then you can link it that way so you don't have to copy it over. But what I have in my Azure function, I have a lot of stuff here. It is actually not that scary because there are just several ways to access that model. You can see I have HTTP trigger here. It works with POST. And then what I have, I am actually connecting to the model project that I have there. So that's the dependency. So I can access that class. Model input and model output, and those are for interacting with the model. And then there are two options to actually access the model. It can be, you can use the prediction engine pool and then use predict by using model by its name. And then I'm passing them data there, and in data I have that text message. Or you can use a little more tricky way. You can basically access by path. I access directly that model zip file by path, and then also create prediction engine and then predict the result. If it's zero, then it's positive. It's safe to send. If it's not zero, it may be one there. Then it's negative, so you probably shouldn't send it. That's what's happening in the Azure function. You can just deploy it to Azure, or you can check it on your local machine using Postman or any other tools. So you basically just run it from your Visual Studio and just test it there. Or you can remote debug. So you can connect to your cloud and then debug from your Visual Studio. It can be an Azure function, or you can create Azure Web App similar way and then connect it to your Xamarin Forms application. So now let me actually show you how that application works, because we don't have that much time left. And I want to show you that it actually works. I'm not just telling you all that fun stuff. And let me open my real device. It is going to connect. So yeah, that's my real device. I hope you can see it here. And let me actually start. Find it in the list, that is that one, and run it. So I'm using Android device, but you don't have to use Android. If you are creating Xamarin Forms solution, you can check it with iOS. If you have iPhone, I know Maddie showed how you can do it, how you can connect your iPhone to your Visual Studio to check it, or you can use Android phone. It is totally up to you. It is, again, taking some time. I think the Visual Studio doesn't want to behave today. But it is doing something. That is always awkward. It pauses when it's loading the solution. And I checked it today before the presentation, but sometimes, you know, it might take a little more time. And if it doesn't work today, then I promise I'm gonna post a video on my Twitter so you can see what kind of app that is. I think we have 2 minutes left. So maybe while it's loading, I can answer some questions.
Yeah, that sounds great. This is great. I'm very excited. I didn't realize how easy it was to do machine learning stuff in VS. That's very cool. So, awesome. And, you know, Visual Studio's taking a nap today. I think I'm ready for a nap too. All right. We have a couple questions that are rolling in. People are very excited. Let's look at this one from Christina Porter. What's the best strategy for keeping the trained models current in production?
That's a good question. So machine is like any kind of software. You need to plug. I think my phone died here, but yeah. You need to keep what's going on there. So if something is not working correctly, if your end users are complaining, or if predictions are incorrect or some kind of failure happens, then you need to go back and either retrain your model or create new model with new data. Also, sometimes you have that just stream of data. So you are retraining your model maybe consistently once a month or once in several months. It depends on where you're using it and how you're using your model and how up to date it needs to be.
Cool. Very cool. All right, we're right at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, whatever time it is all over the world. So I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. Feel free to reach out to Veronica on Twitter, BreakpointV16. It's right there under her name. And hopefully I see you around sometime.
See you.
Bye.